MoneyWeb now on the money.
This show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with our investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.
Now joined by James Bennett, Global Equity Analyst at Anchor. Thank you for the early morning time, James. We're chatting cybersecurity. I recently read the Allianz Risk Barometer report that highlighted it as the number one concern for financial institutions in 2024. And it's definitely a secular theme to back. It's something that we like at Anchor. And we know that cybersecurity is important for corporates. And what is the investment case for corporates based on this in the cybersecurity sector? And by extension, I mean, because corporates need this, why is it a sector that we like?
Yes, good morning, Kieran and the listeners. So I've followed the cybersecurity sector for over 15 years and have always found it to be a fascinating industry. So although the industry has become more widely followed by financial market participants in recent years, the core thesis behind investing in the sector has pretty much remained unchanged. You know, throughout the years, cybersecurity has remained pretty mission critical for corporates of any size. And if anything has changed, it's that the mission to protect digital and even physical assets has become increasingly critical each year that goes by. There's actually an interesting analogy between investing in the cybersecurity and defense industries. The defense industry offers many attractive properties such as mission critical and resilient demand at all times. But many potential investors balk at the perceived killing aspect that goes with the defense industry. So in a sense, the cybersecurity industry offers many similar qualities as the defense industry, but without negatively impacting human lives. In fact, many of the world's leading cybersecurity companies actually count governments as part of their client bases, even though it is a relatively small part of their total earnings. So the demand for cybersecurity products is extremely robust and defensive and not subject to the economic swings that many other industries experience.
Yeah, that demand is something that is definitely not going away anytime soon. The same report said there's been a 50% increase in ransomware insurance claims from 2022. Again, this highlighting the growing importance of this. And now from the corporate's perspective again, it's obviously very critical to protect against the threat of bad actors. Why are we hearing more about cyber breaches now than we used to in the past?
Sure. So years ago, cybersecurity was mostly defined by on-premise physical firewalls. So there was an on-premise network with a physical firewall to protect it, and anyone behind the firewall was considered to be safe. But of course, with the advent of the internet, email, smartphones, the cloud, work from home, even work from anywhere, and the Internet of Things, the so-called attack surface available to these threat actors has really grown exponentially. So the industry has moved on to zero trust, a type architecture, which is a somewhat loose term that many in the industry now lay claim to, which really says that no one is to be trusted, not even the CEO of a company. Because after all, what if it's not the CEO who's emailed you a request, but someone else who's assumed their identity?
Yeah, we see this again all the time. Identity theft is very prevalent. And there's lots of opportunity by extension in this industry, but it is a very fragmented industry. And what do you think about individual point solutions versus maybe some of the wider platform players that offering that you can cover more of your company with? Is one necessarily better than the other? And along with that, perhaps you can maybe introduce some of the key players in this industry to us.
Sure. So the average corporate in the US uses about 40 different cybersecurity vendors, some even more. And this has led to a pretty complex sprawl of products. And it's created a tug of war between using best of breed point solutions, or going with a platform whose products, integrate into a couple or even a single operating system. There really is no such thing as the best cybersecurity company. Each of the bigger players has their strengths and weaknesses. The industry is highly competitive with, many participants adamant that their offerings are the best in the industry for each specific purpose. So there has been a real clamor for the best of breed mantle. Remember that corporate buyers don't want to settle for second best when it comes to a cybersecurity. But I just think given this complexity, the needle has started to tilt a bit more towards the bigger platform players. And I would argue probably the best examples of a platform offering are Palo Alto and Fortinet. But even companies like CrowdStrike, Zscaler, and even a SentinelOne are laying claim to a platform offering. So Palo Alto is the largest independent cybersecurity company in the world, yet only has about 6% global market share. Microsoft is considered to be the biggest player in the industry, but because it bundles a lot of its cybersecurity products into its broader software, people take its estimates of about $25 billion in cybersecurity revenue with a pinch of salt, and it's unclear whether they could achieve that level of revenue if their cybersecurity products were sold on a standalone basis.
I think you've definitely mentioned some names there that people are familiar with, and I think people will be quite surprised that Microsoft really just does seem to do it all. They do have quite a decent cyber offering, as you've highlighted. But there's clearly not one company that we can say is the best in everything at cybersecurity. It's not as simple as that. But now from an investment manager's perspective, which one really stands out for you?
Sure. So, you know, notwithstanding what we just said about there not being one best company in the industry, I've always admired the way Fortinet, a US-based company, runs its business. It has a reasonable PE for a US growth tech stock. It's still run by its original founders from 20 years ago. It's highly profitable. Its free cash flow margin puts it in the top 5 to 10% of the S&P 500 index. On that measure, it's got a strong balance sheet. And they've always found a good balance between growth and profitability. You know, it's got a high return on capital employed, and that's because they mostly have built their business through internally developing their assets and have made very, very few small bolt-on acquisitions. Their stock-based compensation is one of the lowest in all of tech. And then even buybacks, they do very judiciously, you know, from time to time, when the share price has fallen.
And I think it's given us a chance to get into a share like this quite a few times, because after earnings, these things, it's either a hit or a miss, and it really does give you a chance to get into them. And then James, lastly, people would have no doubt heard about the IT outage a few weeks ago caused by CrowdStrike. It disrupted many industries, everything from computer software to flights to transactions being halted. This was actually not a cyber breach, as I understand it, but it was a software update. What exactly happened here? Are we likely to see it again? And how material, in your view, is this to the cyber industry as a whole?
Sure. So remember that CrowdStrike is a truly world-class business, which actually makes the outage they caused even more perplexing. And as you correctly said, it wasn't actually a cyber breach, but an update that they rolled out that instantly bricked every Windows machine that it touched. So it's hard to understand why standard best practice wasn't employed, such as testing on a few machines internally first and then incrementally rolling it out in stages. And then some of the tech world has even gone a bit further and questioned whether it points to deeper issues within the company. But at this stage, we have no way of knowing whether that's true or not. I just think given CrowdStrike's stellar track record before this incident, we have to assume it's highly unlikely that this exact issue will ever happen to them again. There is likely to be some slowing of their signing of new business for the next few quarters, but I'm sure that in a couple of years' time, the world would have mostly forgotten about this incident from a CrowdStrike perspective.
Yeah, I'm sure it won't be the last, but the industry definitely moves on. We leave it there. Thank you, James Bennett, for your early morning time.
This show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with our investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.